Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is The Trojan War, Part 2, Achilles' Heel and the Trojan Horse, an adaptation of a Greek myth written for you by Daniel Hines. If you haven't already, check out Part 1 released earlier this week. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Anaïs and Eliana and their family in Carlsbad, California, Amelia and Elias and their family in Anchorage, Alaska, Archer Ottie and his family, and Sam and his family in Alexandria, Virginia. Thank you so much, Sam, Archer, Elias, Amelia, Eliana, and Anaïs. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. We have Stories Podcast merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, and now we're also on Cameo. Check us out over there if you'd like to get a personal video message for someone special. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch system, the home of Mario and Friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode! The Trojan War, Part 2. Achilles' Heel and the Trojan Horse. A long time ago, in the days of myth, the Greek and Trojans were ready to go to war. Eris, the goddess of chaos, had tricked Athena, Hera, and Aphrodite into a contest with the Trojan prince Paris as a judge. The prince awarded the title of most beautiful to Aphrodite, and in return, she made Helen, the fairest mortal woman in all the world and the wife of the king Menelaus, fall madly in love with Paris. His father and brother, King Priam and Prince Hector, urged him to refuse, but Paris was struck by Helen's beauty and brought her home with him as though she were a prize he was entitled to. Unfortunately, Helen was a person, not a prize, and she was by no means Aphrodite's to give away. When the Greeks learned of these events, they vowed to rescue Helen from the Trojan city of Troy. They assembled all their greatest warriors, led by the mighty heroes Odysseus and Achilles, under the command of Helen's husband, the king Menelaus. Troy was on the coast, and they decided it would be faster to sail there. They stripped the country of every tree, of every board and beam, and set to making ships. All told, they put together one of the largest armies the ancient world had ever seen, and they launched 1,000 ships to rescue Helen from Troy. It was a wild riot of colored sails and flashing spears and shining shields, and they seemed to fill the ocean like an endless wave of war.
"The beach of Troy will be well defended," said Odysseus, a Greek king and general. He was balanced against the waves with a tall spear, a sword at his waist.
"I will take the beach before nightfall," said Achilles.
He was a younger man, but it had been his parents' wedding that Paris had ruined, and he had taken it as a personal insult.
"You're a mighty warrior," said Odysseus, "but even you cannot take the beach of Troy in a single day."
Achilles only smiled. When he was a baby, his mother, a sea nymph, took him by the foot and dipped him into Styx, the river of the dead. As a result, he was immune to death, all of him except the barest back of his heel where his mother had held him. When they landed on the shores of Troy, many of the Greeks were dismayed. The city of Troy was built and blessed by the god Apollo, and its walls were bright and towering. They hung over the beach like the endless cliffs of Mount Olympus. At a glance, the army could see they were too high to climb, too high to even shoot an arrow over, and it was said that they had never once been breached.
But Achilles and Odysseus were unafraid. Their boat was the first to rasp onto the sandy beach, and Achilles leapt off, spear held high.
"To the walls!" cried Odysseus. "Let the Trojan thieves fear our wrath!"
Together, the men led their soldiers off the boats and onto the pale sand shore. The Trojan army poured out of a great gate in the wall and met them there. It was spear to spear and sword to sword, shields bashing and booming and blades ringing and flashing. In mere moments, the beach was a battlefield, and the sands were stained red by the blood of both sides. For a moment, it seemed the Trojans would push the Greeks back to their ships, but Achilles broke free of the melee. With his gleaming sword in hand, he cut a savage path through the Trojans. It seemed no spear could reach him and no sword could cut him. He parried a blade and slashed out like a cobra. He cut a spear in half and caught the falling tip as a knife. He leapt over shields and landed like a bolt of Zeus's own lightning among the screaming Trojan soldiers. He was a blur of destruction, and his army, seasoned warriors all, flooded into the gaps he left, turning the tide of that awful fray. "Retreat!" called Paris, who was at the back of his army, shooting with a bow and arrow. His brother Hector was a great warrior, but Paris was a coward by nature and wanted no part of the battle that he had caused. His father, King Priam, took up the call, and soon the entire Trojan army turned and ran. They hurried back through the gates of Troy to hide behind their towering walls. Achilles and Odysseus led their soldiers after them, firing arrows and throwing spears as the mighty gate slammed shut. Achilles would have charged right into the walls of Troy, but Odysseus held him back.
"Enough," he said, wrestling back his friend. "They have archers on the walls, and they'll throw down fire and boiling water, too."
"Let them try," roared Achilles. "I cannot be killed."
"Maybe you can't," said Odysseus. "But what about your army? Will you take an entire city alone?"
Achilles realized his friend was right. To charge into the defended walls of Troy was not a good strategy, and he couldn't lead his soldiers, his friends, to their demise without a plan.
"Fine, you're the clever one," he said to Odysseus. "What do we do?"
"Well, we wait," said Odysseus.
"While they hide behind their walls, we will find a way through. We will destroy Prince Paris, and we will save Helen, our queen."
Achilles nodded, and they went back to their armies to wait for their opening. Unfortunately for them, the city of Troy was under the watchful eye of Apollo, and there was no other way through the gates. The Greeks turned to raiding other Trojan cities, capturing food and wealth, but the Trojan army still hid behind their walls. Frustrated, Achilles and Odysseus tried again and again to break into the city, and again they failed and had to retreat to the beach. This went on for 9 long years.
"Oh, the war can't be won," said a Greek leader named Sinon after their latest failed attack. "Our army is better, but as long as the cowards hide behind their walls, there's nothing we can do."
"I won't give up so easily," said Odysseus.
"And I won't give up at all," scowled Achilles.
"Oh, give up?" scoffed Sinon. "This bloody war has been going on 10 years now. The Trojans are holed up behind their walls. We've as good as won."
"No," said King Menelaus, slamming down his fist. "We haven't won until we've rescued Helen, torn down their city, and destroyed Prince Paris and Prince Hector and King Priam as well."
Odysseus nodded grimly, and Achilles smiled. That night, the king prayed to the gods for help.
"Please," he said, "Apollo defends the Trojans. Won't one of you stand for the Greeks?"
To his amazement, Athena appeared,
glowing and dressed for battle.
"Goddess!" the king cried, falling to his knees.
"King Menelaus," she said, "I have no love for the coward Paris, who awarded my sister most beautiful and stole your bride. I can't help directly because then Apollo might join the battle as well and no mortal would survive our meeting, but tomorrow, attack the walls again and I shall do what I can."
The king nodded and when he looked up, Athena was gone. The next day, the Greeks stormed the walls of Troy, led by Achilles and Odysseus. The Trojans came out to meet them and there was a terrible battle in front of the gates. But the Greeks were again held back. They shouted on the beach as the Trojans went back inside their walls. The king was beginning to doubt that Athena had ever actually appeared, and then he saw it.
"Hector!" he cried, grabbing Achilles' shoulder. "Prince Hector has been left behind!"
And it was true. Hector, the brother of Paris, had been enchanted briefly by Athena, causing him to get lost in the chaos of the battle. He was running back towards the gates, where Paris was urging him on.
"Run, brother!" Paris shouted, hiding atop the wall with Helen, who was still under Aphrodite's spell.
"Quickly now!"
Hector ran and then skidded to a stop as a spear slashed down to slam into the sand at his feet. The prince turned and saw Achilles striding across the beach to meet him. The two armies stood back, both too far to help in time, as Achilles charged and Hector whirled and their swords smashed together.
"Surrender Helen and your thieving brother, and we'll let your city stand," Achilles growled over their crossed blades.
"You know I can't," Hector said sadly. "Family is family, and I'll protect mine to the end."
"Your end is closer than you think."
They swung and blocked and hacked and slashed, an intricate dance of battle, their feet kicking up sand and their teeth gritted and their eyes squinted against the sun. Hector was a great warrior, but it was soon clear that Achilles was greater still. The Greek hero knocked aside the prince's shield, kicked his sword out of his hand, and sent him stumbling to his knees.
"Hector!" Prince Paris called,
but it was too late. Achilles ended him with a thrust of his sword. The Trojans groaned in dismay, but the Greeks cheered. One prince was down, but the thief Prince Paris still remained.
"Well fought,"
said Odysseus, clapping his friend on the shoulder.
"Child's play," said Achilles, who had not been scratched.
The magical protection of his mother and his own amazing skill at combat had seen him through unscathed. A short time later, King Priam told Paris he must avenge his brother or be thought a coward forever. But the truth was, Paris was a coward, and he knew that he couldn't beat Achilles in a fair fight. So he snuck deep into the palace, where all the most wicked things were kept. There, he slathered an arrow in poison, from a snake or scorpion or some hydra from myth. It was thick and purple-black, and even a drop of it smelled of painful death.
"For my brother," he said, spinning the toxic arrow in the glint of torchlight.
The next day, when Achilles led the Greeks on another attack of the wall, Paris snuck to the edge of the battle and found the hero. The prince aimed for Achilles' heart, but then the voice of Apollo spoke in his ear.
"My prince," said Apollo, "the man is enchanted by the river Styx, immune to death itself."
"Then what can I do?" asked Paris, shaking and afraid.
"Aim for his feet and let me guide your hand."
"His feet?"
"Oh, trust me, son of Troy," Apollo said.
Paris turned and aimed at Achilles' feet. The Greek hero was leaping and slashing, a fury of battle. Paris knew he couldn't make the shot alone, but he trusted in his god and let the poison arrow fly.
It was a poor shot, but Apollo guided it with the wind, and the deadly shaft lanced through Achilles' vulnerable heel and drove deep into his body.
"Achilles!"
Odysseus bellowed, catching his friend as he stumbled.
"Achilles, are you okay? I've never seen you take a wound. Lucky it's only your foot."
But as soon as he spoke, Odysseus saw that he was wrong. A black poison was already creeping through Achilles' veins.
"Poison!" spat Odysseus. "A coward's weapon, and surely from Prince Paris. Hold on until we get you to a healer."
But by the time Odysseus had carried his friend from the battle, Achilles had died. He was a demigod, so his mortal body passed away, but his spirit was free and rose to take its place with the other gods on Mount Olympus, which made Odysseus feel a little better, but was no help in the war.
"We're doomed," said Sinon that night in the king's ship. "It's been 10 years, and now Achilles is lost. What hope do we have of winning? I say we sail home and let no more Greeks die on the shores of Troy."
King Menelaus nodded. He wanted nothing more than to rescue Helen, but what could he do? She was under the spell of Aphrodite, protected by the walls of Apollo, and his people had fought enough for 10 lifetimes. Maybe he's right.
"Yes," said Odysseus, a fire in his eyes. He was full of rage at losing his friend, and that rage had given him a wild, desperate idea.
"We should sail away, but first we should leave an offering."
As the night grew late and the sky went dark, Odysseus explained the idea, and the king listened closely. The next morning, King Priam of Troy and Prince Paris stood on the walls of the city, watching as the Greeks climbed back into their ships.
They're leaving," said Paris, breaking into a wide smile. "They are finally admitting defeat."
"It seems so,"
said King Priam, watching as the boats loaded with soldiers and then shoved off from the shore. When they were in the open water, all 1,000 unfurled their sails and began to cruise away.
"But wait, what's that they've left?"
Paris looked down the far end of the beach and saw a strange sight. It was a towering wooden horse, many men tall, sculpted in beautiful detail, with a single Greek standing in front of it.
"You, Greek!" King Priam shouted. "What is the meaning of this?"
The Greek was Odysseus's friend, Sinon, and he walked up to the wall, hands raised in peace.
"The horse is an offering to Athena," he said. "It's to guarantee our safe trip home."
"The horse is a symbol of Troy," Paris said. "Surely it's an offering for us."
"It can be both," Sinon said. "I was to deliver the message and congratulate you on your walls and your victory and your bride."
He smiled at Helen, who was still deep in Aphrodite's spell and didn't seem to recognize him or anyone.
"And now I must join my countrymen home in Greece. Fare thee well."
Sinon turned and walked off, leaving Paris and King Priam and the other Trojans to stare at the giant horse sculpture on the beach.
"What shall we do with it?" the king asked.
"Burn it," said an advisor. "I don't trust the Greeks and I don't trust their gifts."
"Nonsense," said Paris. "This is a great sculpture. Gather together and bring it inside the city as a monument to our victory."
The soldiers grumbled, but a score of them went out and dragged the sculpture through the mighty gates. It was so large it barely seemed to fit. Once it was inside, the Trojans had a great feast, celebrating the end of the war. The party lasted long into the night and left everyone deep asleep inside their beds in the wee hours of the morning. And then, when the night was black and every last sound was quiet but the distant crashing of waves upon the shore, the horse sculpture began to shake. Then, with a soft sound, a wooden panel fell from its belly and thumped to the grass below.
"It's time," said Odysseus.
He sat inside the belly of the horse with 30 of Achilles' best soldiers, all of them eager for revenge. The horse had been constructed by Athena, and Odysseus and his army had hidden inside it all day and night, just waiting for their chance.
"Move quickly now, for Achilles, for Greece, and for Helen."
The soldiers slipped out of the Trojan horse one by one and snuck to the great gate in the walls of Troy. They subdued the guards, opened the gate wide, and then jammed the mechanism so it could never be closed again. Outside the walls, King Menelaus and the rest of the Greek soldiers were waiting. They had sailed a short distance away and then hiked back under cover of darkness. On top of the wall, Odysseus lit a special torch that burned a vibrant blue.
"That's the signal!" cried the king. "Into the city, now! Find our Helen and then burn it to the ground!"
The Greeks roared a battle cry and then poured into the city of Troy in all their thousands. They threw torches as they went, and soon the entire city was ablaze. The Trojan soldiers tried to respond, but the Greeks were better fighters. Melees broke out across the streets and rooftops and alleyways, but there was no stopping the flow of Odysseus and his men. Finally, they battled their way to the palace itself and burst through the doors. King Priam was old and was swallowed up by a tide of Greek soldiers. They continued through the palace and finally found the room where Paris was hiding with Helen. Odysseus himself kicked in the door.
"No!" said Prince Paris when he suddenly found himself face to face with the raging hero.
"Yes!" said Odysseus, and then he raised his hand in signal.
His archers fired, peppering the prince with arrows until he stumbled back and fell from his window, his final shout lost in the roar of battle. The second Paris was gone, Helen shook her head, as if waking from a deep, fevered dream.
"What? Odysseus, where am I? What's happened?"
"Too much," he said. "Hurry now, with me. The city is burning."
"But where are we going?" she asked.
"Home," said King Menelaus, walking into the room, eyes wide and shining at seeing his queen.
"We're going home."
She fell into his arms, and the Greeks marched back to their boats, leaving the city of Troy burning behind them, a raging star in the night. On Mount Olympus, the gods watched on sadly.
"So many mortals lost," said Zeus, "all for a war that never needed to happen."
Athena and Aphrodite and Apollo said nothing, too embarrassed by their actions. But outside the walls, there came a tinkling laughter. Eris, the goddess of chaos who had caused all the trouble to begin with, was full of joy.
"That went even better than expected," she said to Baris, her pet snake.
The snake agreed.
"Maybe next time they'll invite me to the wedding," she said. And then she walked off, looking for more mischief to cause and more kingdoms to break.
The end. Today's story, The Trojan War, Part 2, Achilles' Heel and the Trojan Horse, was an adaptation of a Greek myth written for you by Daniel Hines, edited and produced for you by Andrew Martin, and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, commission a special video on Cameo, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today, or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.